Good evening, brothers and sisters in Christ. I thought this evening I'd share something that's been on my heart for the last couple of weeks, or last maybe at least the last 2 weeks, and that's these two topics. And renewal is the theme that we are considering for the church for next year. This has been discussed at the session, and we have an upcoming church planning conference in August where we're going to talk about this topic of renewal. And it has many, the idea of renewal has many aspects, many facets that we can talk about. But tonight I just want to talk about mentoring, which is the other subject matter that has also, you know, we've recently been talking about this. And I wondered, you know, whether are the two of these linked? Well, and if they're linked, what's the link, and how should we in the church be thinking about this? You know, the word mentoring or mentor is not found in the Bible at all, but it's a real common word that we hear bandied around these days. You know, you barely can go anywhere, sometimes can't to any church, many of the churches, without hearing this word mentoring, right? So I thought, if the Bible doesn't say the word mentoring, well, what is mentoring in the context of the church? And what's its link with renewal? And the first thing we can think about in terms of renewal is really this, you know, that what Paul tells Timothy, that the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Right? So there is a real seriousness about this idea of renewal that we must consider. In our previous church planning conferences, one of the concerns has really been for NBCs and sometimes fellowship groups in terms of whether they'll be able to continue and survive because they don't have any younger people joining them. There's no renewal in that sense. So this is really something serious and important for the church to consider, for all churches to consider, especially a multi-generational church like Life Church. But back to that question, right? What is biblical mentoring? And since there isn't the word mentoring in or mentor in either the King James version of the Bible, what about newer versions? And New King James doesn't have this either, neither the ESV. I didn't want to search any harder. So very helpfully, my wife's, as we were talking about this, she said, well, why don't we ask one of the generative AIs, like ChatGPT, and she found another one called Perplexity. And this is the response from generative AI about what Christian mentorship is. And if you look at this long list, actually, this list is not really that unfamiliar to us. And I'm sure many of you who are attending prayer meeting this night, you recognize all these terms. You recognize that in the church we are to guide each other in spiritual matters, to grow in our faith, in our understanding of God's word, now in our walk with God. We in our study of the Bible, we try to apply the Bible's principles, what God has taught us, to all our daily life situations. We sit around with one another in fellowship to share life experiences, so that those of us who have often by dint of painful experience, gain some wisdom and share it with others. And we do need to form relationships, you know, which are a bit more than the hello and goodbye, communication that sometimes is the most common thing that we have, right? Hello, how are you? And then goodbye, which is what we often do. We know that all this work is not our work, but the work of the Holy Spirit. And we know that we have to model Christ-like behavior. And then, of course, this one about asking correct questions, I just quoted verbatim from what the generative AI put out. But I do want to share with you as we look at these things, we ask ourselves, well, what does God's word say? What does God's word say in relation to all these things? Although it doesn't use the word mentorship, we know very clearly that the Great Commission tells us we are to teach, make disciples of all nations. we are to, and with the goal of instructing them, imparting instruction, of explaining, of expounding, not just how to be saved or how to come into a relationship with God, with Christ, but all things that Christ has commanded us, all things that God has commanded us. And that is the goal of making disciples, of teaching them. It is to instruct them in all things we have been commanded by Christ. And really, if you look back at this, this is guidance in spiritual matters, growth in faith, understanding of scripture and relationship with God. How do we apply, how do we walk this Christian walk? How do we live lives that reflect the fact that we are God's redeemed people? How do we go about doing this, right? This discipling, you know, and I think really the synonym for mentoring in the Bible is making disciples, right? Teaching and making disciples. And Paul writing to Titus gives us an insight into this, right? And in speaking about sound doctrine, right? In speaking about how we are to conduct ourselves in relationship to one another, you can see the hints or the of mentoring, of discipling in this passage in Titus 2, 1 to 6, right? And what is clear here, first of all, is that the aged men or the older men and the older women are to be good examples. Aged men are to be sober, they are to abstain from alcohol, from its excesses, at least. They are to be grave, to be well-respected, to be temperate in exercise self-control. They are to be sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. And the aged women are to do all these things so that they may teach, may guide young women to be sober, love their husbands, love their children, be discreet, and so on and so forth. And at the same time, the young men are exhorted by Titus and very likely by the older men as well to be in self-control. And you can imagine that none of this is going to occur simply by a pulpit message from Titus every week, or by an elder in the church, you know, proclaiming that everybody is to be sober, grave, temperate, you know, because it's very easy to run a seminar, give a message, and declare all these things are needful. And of course they are, and this is not to in any way downplay the role of preaching. But it is one thing to list out a series of instructions, and it's another thing to walk with someone and guide them in the way of the Lord. Right? Certainly, older women teaching young women is not going to come about by a pulpit message from one of them, but it is really by walking with them and guiding them. Right? And if we think about the faith communities, the Christian communities, and even the Israelite community from the past, they really lived in close proximity with one another, saw each other daily, and you know, their examples were available for all to see, and the relationships they formed had to be very real. Often these would be their own families, but if not families close to them. And so the idea of developing a relationship and guiding people in their walk is very real and very biblical. So for those of us who have a hoary head, right now the camera only shows Mok's hoary head and my hoary head. We do well to remember that it is a crown of glory only if it's found in the way of righteousness. There is nothing that perhaps makes it difficult to develop a relationship than an older person simply just telling a younger person what to do, you know, giving a series of instructions on the basis that I have eaten more salt than you've eaten rice. You know, when we were younger, we didn't like that. And I'm quite certain if we say things in the same way, those who are listening are not going to respond particularly positively either. Right? But really, although Titus was a younger man, this admonition to show a pattern of good works, to be uncorrupt in our doctrine, to be grave, to be sincere. This applies to all of us, old or young, as we show an example to those whom we will hope to guide, as well as to the world around us, right? And above all, as Paul tells the Corinthians, our example should be that we follow Christ, that we imitate Christ. And that is the most important example for all of us to show. So the most important thing that we can all do is if we want to start developing, discipling or mentoring relationships, is to be a good example. And the next thing is to form a good relationship, as Titus would suggest to us that we have to form some kind of relationship in order to guide others, to instruct others. So be an example, form a relationship. And the relationship is really one of friendship. And Proverbs tells us a lot about how friendship, friendship is so important, right? Because if you're a friend and you can give good counsel, then your good counsel is really like ointment and perfume, and it rejoices the heart. It rejoices, it makes people glad to hear your good advice because you are a friend. And how do you know that someone is a friend? Well, he loves at all times, and he's there with you when you are in trouble. He seeks to restore, right? A friend will seek to restore, and not by proclaiming his own righteousness, but in a spirit of meekness, realizing also that we are easily tempted and we fall into sin. We could easily fall into the same sin, right? My father used to tell me, in respect of all this, when we see other men sin, we always ought to remember that there, but for the grace of God, that is one thing I will always remember, because it's so easy to fall into sin. So let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And the other aspect of this friendship is really mutual submission. As much as we think of the younger submitting to the elder, but it really is the next part of the verse in 1 Peter 5:5 says, we are all to be subject one to another and clothed with humility. So the relationships that we develop in our church, in our fellowship groups, in our NBCs, are they ones of friendship? Friendship based on spirit of meekness, based on mutual submission, based on humility. Is that what we are doing, right? Ephesians 6:4 has one about fathers provoking not your children to wrath. And that's really just not making your instruction or guidance something that is a burden, but really something that is looked forward to like ointment and perfume. And so with these thoughts, I just wanted to leave us with these thoughts about what the Bible says about mentoring. I think we're going to have a lot more conversations about this. We don't really have a formal mentoring structure in our church as it is. With not having a formal mentoring structure doesn't mean no mentoring takes place. And perhaps we really need to be more intentional as a church in terms of how we conduct discipling and mentoring. I know it does occur. You have all seen it occur. All of you have participated in it at some point or another. But perhaps 2024, going into 2025, as we think about renewal, is a time for us to think really hard about what we are doing in respect of helping one another to grow in our faith, in this journey, and guiding each other along, right? That our church will not lack for these relationships that form, where we can guide each other to knowing Christ more. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for what your word teaches us, and we know we are to disciple one another. We just disciple those who have come to the faith. And we ask, O Lord, that we will never do this in a spirit of pride or self-righteousness, but always consider that we have been all saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not for any good works that we have done, And in this journey, Lord, help us to share with one another what you have taught us, to share your goodness towards us, to share sometimes the correction that you have given us, that we may all grow together, and that as a church, we may be found faithful in your sight, doing works that are pleasing to you, serving you wholeheartedly to the day when you come again. But we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.